Hello, this is Rabbi Mordechai Fleischer of the Denver Community Kollel, bringing you this week's thought on the Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Bo, features the final three plagues, starting with the plague of locusts. At the beginning of the Parsha, Hashem, God, tells Moshe about the impending plague of locusts, and he tells them that he wants the Jewish people to be able to tell their children and their children's children through the generations how God toyed with the Egyptians, how he made sport of them. And this seems to be an idea directly associated with the plague of locusts. Although it's not clear from the verses or from Rashi's explanation of the verses how the idea of toying or sporting with the Egyptians is tied in specifically to the plague of locusts. A number of years ago, I heard an explanation on this from Rabbi David Orlovsky, a rabbi at Yeshivas Or Sameach. He pointed out that the Torah tells us that after the plague of hail, at the end of last week's parsha, the Torah tells us that the crops of the Egyptians were smashed by the hail. However, not all of the crops, only some of them. The softer plants, those plants that were not yet fully ripe and were still soft, were not smashed because they were still young. They were still somewhat flexible, they weren't stiff, and they were able to withstand the onslaught of the hail. These plants were still left over, and when the locusts came, they consumed all those plants that were left, all those crops that were left over from the hail. So he explained that Pharaoh had seen that after the plague of hail, there were still some crops left. And so his heart was hardened, and he said to himself, I've still got these crops left, the ones that were not smashed by the hail. So I don't have to give in to God. I still have some hope. I still have some straws to grasp onto. In this case, rather literally. In which case, and at that point, God came and said, hang on a minute. I'm not done yet. You think you still have something to grasp onto? You think you still have some crops left? I'm bringing the locusts now. And the locusts are going to finish up. They're going to polish up whatever the hail left over. And this is the idea of the playing games of the making sport of the Egyptians. While we may think that this narrative, the toying, the making sport, the playing games with Pharaoh, with the Egyptians, may seem to be an incidental, almost tangential part of the plagues, in fact, it is a vital part of the entire narrative of the process of the plagues. A major aspect of the plagues was God's proving that He alone is in charge of all of creation. Pharaoh, initially when Moshe had come, had said, who is this God? I don't know of him. I never heard of him. And Pharaoh's point was that there are a lot of powers in nature, and I don't have to listen, I don't have to subjugate myself before your God, because I have my gods, and I have my way of life, and I do my thing, and no one else is going to tell me what to do. And the point of the plagues was to show that, in fact, there's one God over all of creation, who runs everything, who's involved in everything, who allows the world to exist from one moment to the next, And the plague's purpose was to show God's dominance over all aspects of creation. At every step of the way, Pharaoh was looking for something, some little thing to hold on to grab onto, to convince himself that there is still some area that he's free from God, that he can do what he wants, that his gods are more powerful, his gods are stronger. And every time God came back with another right hook, another blow, and God showed him that, in fact, every area of creation that he thinks, that Pharaoh thinks, that God is not present, is not all-powerful in that area, he's wrong. In fact, God is all-powerful in that part of creation as well. And so this idea of toying, of making sport of the Egyptians, is a central part of the plagues. It's the process of showing Pharaoh that there is no part of the world, no part of creation, that is free of God's presence, of God's dominance, of God's involvement, and of God allowing it to exist from one moment to the next. Obviously, this idea carries over to our lives as well, because we need to understand that every part of creation, every aspect of our lives, has God's presence in it as well. And there is no area, no part of the world, no time, no situation where God is not there, where God is not involved. There's a line that I heard some years ago that people said that God is not in Miami. People go to Miami, there's beaches there, there's fun there. Perhaps today we can apply it to a city named Las Vegas. And people would think that when I go here, God's not here, I could do what I want. But it's not true. God is everywhere. And just because a person's on vacation just because a person's out of their normal environment where they behave in a certain way, and they're on vacation, they're in a place where perhaps the behavior of the environment is not as moral or is not as proper as usual, does not give a person license to ignore God's presence and to do what he or she wants. We need to realize that God is everywhere, in every place, in every situation, at all times, and we need to live our lives with that recognition and with that awareness. I hope you enjoy this message, and I wish you a wonderful Shabbos.